Welcome back to Proclaiming the One. Pastor Poppy, Pastor Schmidt, Vicar Bader. We're looking at the readings for the 13th Sunday after Trinity. After a long and theologically enlightening discussion during our break, we've decided that we're going to look at the epistle reading for this coming Sunday and spare Vicar reading all the difficult names from 2 Chronicles 28, 8 to 15, which is the Old Testament reading. And so let's take a look at the epistle, Galatians 3, 15 to 22. Vicar, take it away.
To give a human example, brothers, even with a man-made covenant, no one annuls it or adds to it once it has been ratified. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, and to offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one, and to your offspring, who is Christ. This is what I mean. The law, which came 430 years afterward, does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God, so as to make the promise void. For if the inheritance comes by the law, it no longer comes by promise, but God gave it to Abraham by a promise. Why then the law? It was added because of transgressions, until the offspring should come to whom the promise had been made, and it was put in place through angels by an intermediary. Now an intermediary implies more than one, but God is one. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. But the Scripture imprisoned everything under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe.
Early in our program, section one, we were talking about promises and covenants. Looking at our epistle, or the introit from Psalm 74, we had quite a discussion on what a promise is, what a covenant is, the different kinds of covenants, and things that are going on here. We have that covenant and promise language that's being brought out again in Galatians chapter 3. We know that the covenant or promised people that received the promise from God that a seed, the Savior of the nation, would come through them were the children of God, the children of Israel. The children of God were the priests and Levites came from. And the Samaritans were considered less than the children of God, half-breeds or whatever. And yet the Samaritan seems to have faith when the other two don't. Here in Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 3, we have some unpacking of this apparent mystery or contradiction, and it has to do with this whole seed, offspring, Abraham thing, and it's not nearly as complicated as it may seem, and we get an opportunity to sort it out. Pastor, first of all, what's going on here with regard to the point that the Holy Spirit through Paul is making with regard to offspring or offsprings?
Well, he's making a grammatical point. He's saying it's one offspring, or some translations say seed, and I like the ones that capitalize it. In other words, getting at the fact that this is a reference to our Lord Jesus.
And the seed of the woman, promised in Genesis chapter 3, makes that that promise that is being referred to quite clear. And I think it confuses and muddies the water when we use the word offspring and offspring. Seed is the one. In the Greek, correct me if I'm wrong, but this word for offspring is sperma, isn't it? And I don't know if we're just being politically correct that we don't want to use those words or those terms, but that's exactly what's going on here. The seed of the woman fulfilled in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So the point is being made here that Abraham was not saved by the law, but he was saved by grace through faith. Now, it appears at first glance that, we read all these things about Abraham. Abraham obeyed God here. Abraham obeyed God there. When it came time when God called him to sacrifice Isaac, Abraham obeyed. He obeyed when God called him out of the pagan lands in chapter 12 of Genesis. And he left his people and his homeland and went to where God told him to go. So, Vicar, some thoughts about how Abraham was saved. Was it by obedience, or is there something more here?
Abraham believed, and it was counted to him or reckoned to him as righteousness.
Genesis 15.
Yeah. So it was nothing really that Abraham did, per se, that meant that he was going to be saved. It was in his belief. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure the main thing that Paul is wrestling with in Galatians is the uncircumcised versus the circumcised. People are saying, we still have to obey the law to be circumcised. God gave a law. Or still have to obey the law to be saved. And God gave a law saying, you have to circumcise on the eighth day. And so they're wanting pagans, Gentiles, that are coming into the church to be circumcised, to obey the law that God has given. But Paul is saying that's not so. It's not following the law that saves you. It's what you believe, and namely, who you believe in, Jesus Christ, the one who has fulfilled the law for us.
You know, we have this same misunderstanding today. Some people look at the Bible and say, well, you know, the people of the Old Testament were saved by their works, and the people in the New Testament are saved by Jesus, by faith in him. And Paul, wrestling with this question, makes it very, very clear that there are not two paths of salvation. It is not a two-step salvation. It is not a different mode of salvation in the Old Testament than in the New Testament. It is one and the same. Pastor, your comments on that?
Well, like in Genesis 15 itself, I mean, verse 6, he believed in the Lord, that is Abraham, and he counted it to him for righteousness. This term obey in the Old Testament, I think we've mentioned this before, means to act on one's belief. It isn't just mechanically, robotically, I'm obeying what you told me to do, period. It means I believe this, and this is what changes my life. This is a different relationship now. I'm not under the law and the threat of the law. I trust in the Lord who's called me to be his.
So all of these examples of the great faith life and the great obedience of Father Abraham are in response to the word of God, the promises that God gave him. And as Pastor Schmidt pointed out beautifully earlier in our program, promises that elicit faith, promises that create faith, promises that need faith, and they create the very faith that is needed to cling to these promises. God told Abraham a lot of things when he called him in Genesis chapter 12, when he reaffirmed those promises in Genesis 15, Genesis 18, Genesis 22, and the like. And of all the promises, you know, you're going to be a great nation, you're going to have lots of children, you know, people who bless you will be blessed. People who curse you will be cursed. But the blessing, the promise of Abraham had something to do with Abraham's seed, Abraham's offspring. And that's why Paul brings this up here. Pastor, what kind of a seed or offspring is the main promise that God gave to Abraham?
Well, it's in fulfillment of what he says in Genesis 12, in you all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. It's in his family, and eventually then it's that his family is the source of the Messiah. I think there's two things to keep in mind always concerning Old Testament Israel. To them, God's word was given, and they have that word through Moses and the prophets, and from them would come the Messiah. That's the chief reason that they are set apart from all the other nations. There were other believers outside of Israel. I mean, Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, is a priest of Midian. He's a believer, apparently, and there were other believers as well. But they knew that they were outside of this particular tribe of Abraham. If they, there was provision if people wanted to become part of Israel. But there were believers outside of Israel. They were looking for the promises to be fulfilled. They knew where it was going to come from. And this is the faith of Adam and his wife. This is the faith of Abraham, of Noah, of Abraham, of Moses, and all these Old Testament believers. That's why it's false to like you said, put this idea of the Old Testament, you're saved by works, New Testament by faith. That gets everything wrong. The people of the Old Testament were looking for fulfillment of the promises. This is what David relies on and everything else. Yes, they had a particular way they were to relate to God with the sacrifices and the cleanliness code and all that sort of thing. But that's not what made them God's people. His calling them graciously was what made them his people. That's why the first statement in Exodus 20, I am the Lord your God who called you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage.
Therefore.
Yes.
And this is a marvelous distinction for us to make. The folks in the Old Testament, the folks in the New Testament, Christians today, we're all saved the same way. By grace, through faith, in the seed of the woman promised in Genesis chapter 3, that first gospel promise, the seed that would come from Abraham's loins, and through Abraham and through his seed, all nations on earth would be blessed. All nations, not just the chosen people, but the chosen people were chosen so that through them, all nations on earth would be blessed. And all nations on earth are blessed in and through the perfect life, the obedient death, and the glorious resurrection of the seed of the woman, the God-man, Jesus Christ. That's what this is all about. If you want to be saved by the law, go ahead, go for it. Be like ramming your head into the wall. You're gonna want to come up with all kinds of loopholes and exceptions, defining down the law so that you might delude yourself into thinking that you could keep it, like the lawyer in our gospel reading for today. But God's word is clear. The last verse of our epistle from Galatians 3. But the scripture imprisoned everything under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. This promise, this covenant is yours. It is sealed with the very blood of Jesus. You can, quite literally, take it to the bank. Thank you for tuning in today to Proclaiming the One, 13th Sunday after Trinity. Remember, our programs are all archived on our website, www.thecross957.org. Special thank you to Pastor John Schmidt for joining us today. It is always a treat to have you with us, Pastor, and maybe we can squeeze one or two more out of you before Pastor Moline gets here. We'll see. Vicar, we're stuck with you for the rest of the year.
whether we like it or not,
it is. So, Vicar, would you want to wind things down today by praying the collect of the day?
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, give us an increase of faith, hope, and charity, that we may obtain what you have promised. Make us love what you have commanded. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. See you again next week.